to In Beta, a semi-regular conversation between physiotherapy educators who are interested in curriculum reform, innovation and critical thinking about teaching and learning. My name is Ben Ellis. I'm a lecturer in physiotherapy at Oxford Brookes University in the UK.
And I'm Michael Rowe, a lecturer in the Department of Physiotherapy at the University of the Western Cape in South Africa. In Beta is an international virtual community that's free for anyone to join. You can find us on Google Plus by searching for the In Beta community or using the In Beta hashtag on Twitter. Today, we talk about internationalization of the undergraduate curriculum, what it is, who benefits from it, why we might consider it to be important, and how to go about implementing it in the curriculum. We hope you enjoy the conversation. I'm really interested to know why we're doing this internationalization thing and who it benefits, so whose agenda is it serving? But then also, how do we know it's actually achieving the objectives that we say, you know, we're setting out to achieve? I think to start off with, just looking at the literature that's out there and looking at your report, Ben, I was wondering, is there a different understanding of internationalization and what it means? And so, you know, everyone's talking about internationalization. Are we all talking about the same thing? Or are different universities, different countries conceiving of internationalization in different ways? What's your perspective?
So my take on that was that there's different aspects to it. So I think historical aspect has been to think about internationalization in terms of establishing links with countries elsewhere so people can go to those countries and kind of experience difference in that sense. And then in the UK, definitely, and I'm sure this is probably the case elsewhere too, but that we get an awful lot of international students who come in. So there's internationalisation in terms of, you know, making sure that the curriculum is meeting the needs of students who come to UK to study, but then want to go back, you know, to a different country to work or whatever after that. It seems from what I was reading that those ideas have been around for quite a while. And then the idea of kind of internationalisation at home and the internationalisation needing to be a key part of the curriculum for everybody was, you know, maybe that's more in the last sort of 10 years or so that idea taken root, alongside kind of graduate attributes and international globalisation attributes, those kind of things that different universities call different. That push had kind of come later, but there seemed relative consistency. I don't know, from the stuff that I read, I think around, certainly from a kind of educational institutional perspective, what people were looking for, that it was about kind of experiencing difference in a range of things, and that it should just be that whatever teaching is being prepared and whatever learning is happening, you know, just needs to consider more than the kind of examples that are most obvious for that place that it's occurring in.
Anestis, do you want to add anything?
Why is it important? I think make students aware of diversity and make them tolerant and immune towards diversity issues. I think it's important, and this is definitely a good place to start. We do know physiotherapists learn better by practicing and by doing things. So I think assignments of this type, like the one you described, could give them a first-hand experience about diversity. And I think if you experience one aspect of diversity, this can be transferable to other aspects of diversity. So this can go into elderly, this can go into children with disability, this can go to many other. I think internationalization is not something that is one-off, it's something that should be built in the curriculum. I don't know, I've been involved with getting accreditation of a new program in Australia, a physiotherapy program in Australia. We had to map out various aspects about where we meet specific type of requirements. For example, geriatrics or pediatrics. I guess interesting for a curriculum to map out how do they meet or how do they work on internationalization? What are the aspects that they embed during 3 or 4 years to meet the requirement of internationalization?
You both kind of touched on this idea of avoiding this kind of ethnocentric approach to practice, where we think that everyone looks like us and speaks like us and believes the same things that we do. And from a South African perspective, we have quite a diverse cosmopolitan student cohort. You know, we have 12 languages in the country. We've got people who, you know, follow a wide variety of religions. You know, this idea of diversity is kind of I don't know if that really fits with what we mean when we say diversity, or, you know, I kind of feel like our student cohorts are pretty diverse to begin with. And so when I look at the kind of calls for internationalization and I say, okay, well, we're connecting with a group of students in Norway, for example, what is the payoff for my students? You know, the it's not a case like in Europe where you've got people who are moving between countries. You know, someone will come from, you know, Spain to come and do physiotherapy in the UK. But in South Africa, we don't have anyone moving from other countries to come and study it. Well, we have very few students coming from other countries. You know, my university has got this big call for internationalization of the curriculum, and I'm under pressure to some extent to include this in the curriculum. But I'm not really sure what the benefit is for my students. That's not my perspective. You know, this idea that I've got to include some diversity in my curriculum.
But it sounds like you're seeing the diversity in terms of the diversity of the individuals, and that they're bringing, you know, a whole range, as you say, of kind of spirituality, kind of cultural backgrounds, experiences that they have. I mean, so I'd make two points. First is that in the UK, that's a real issue for physiotherapy programs. So they have traditionally been kind of very white, middle class, and female. So there has been a real push on trying to increase the range of people who come onto the courses in the first place. So there is that element, even though we might think that the society is relatively diverse. Sure. The physio programs haven't historically reflected that, although that has definitely. The second thing would then be, so one of the reasons that I really wanted to kind of do the project that I shared the link with you on before was, it's the diversity of practice I was almost more interested in rather than the diversity of people. So there was an article that I referenced in the report, and I can't remember the details of it, but it basically said it was looking at internationalization and kind of STEM subjects tend to not want to engage with this idea at all, because they kind of think, well, look, this is true, the facts are the facts, the science is the science. It doesn't really matter where you're from, like this treatment either works or it doesn't. And so the assumption is that therefore the science is right. And we read science from everywhere. So we're not picky necessarily about only reading articles that come from one place. So therefore we're already international because we take anything on.
Yeah.
But I think I would challenge that in terms of that then the practice is very much rooted in the healthcare culture of the country. So our students have a lot of experience of NHS that they've gone to see when they've been young children, they've gone to see doctors in the NHS, gone to hospitals in the NHS. That's how they've experienced healthcare, most of them in this country. Well, that's a very different system to elsewhere. In terms of the kind of media discussion about these things, it can be very vociferous in kind of trying to defend the healthcare system that any one country has. You know, so if you were learning in the States, you know, obviously there's this whole discussion now, isn't there, around single payer healthcare and whether or not, you know, what should be provided for people. So one of the things I was really keen to try and get across to the students is that just because they're working in the NHS, the NHS it doesn't have to be there. Like, there's lots of countries that don't have that system at all. And if we think it's an important thing, and if we think it is actually a good way of organising healthcare, we need to continue to argue for it and to push for it. Because, you know, if not, then there's going to become a time when that doesn't exist anymore. But equally, we shouldn't assume it's the best just because it's what we've experienced. You know, we've got to look at practice models that are out there elsewhere. So I guess that's where I came at it from, is that it was trying to reflect the international context of the profession and of healthcare a bit more widely, rather than necessarily the diversity of the individuals in the project.
I think that's a really good point, Ben. The idea that the component would help students look at practice in a different way. Because you're right, I think we look at practice as being kind of, it looks the same no matter where you are in the world. This is what a physiotherapist looks like. And I think there are a lot of people in Physio Network, for example, who are challenging that idea and pushing back against this idea that this should look the enacted way. And that's not really the way that I've been thinking about internationalization for our students. So I think that's a really useful perspective that I think gives me a lot more to think about.
I mean, I think, as you mentioned, internationalization comes at different levels. And I guess different countries will have different needs. I guess for the UK, you have a component embedded in the curriculum by having so many students from so many different backgrounds that you have to actually prepare them to go back to anything. Because if they move to the UK to study, they may just go elsewhere. That's one component. For Iceland, I mean, I work in Iceland now. All students are Icelanders. They're no foreign students. Icelanders are a bit isolated in a way. I saw that just by employing a foreign physiotherapy academic like myself, they have included, because I'm teaching in English, they have now, I mean, students are writing reports in English, they have some type of link with what happens. I mean, I bring my experiences from other places where I've worked. So they have, I think, made one step forward just by, at an organizational level, by hiring somebody with a foreign, with another background. But I think it comes at different levels. And as I mentioned before, I think there are different priorities in different countries. I took your point, Ben, about NHS, and perhaps that should be the focus of the internationalization actions in your curriculum, but perhaps in other places. And also with Britain and like being more isolated now, I mean, this creates different needs as compared to, let's say, Germany or other places where they accept a great deal of refugees and people coming in the country all the time. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking that the focus may be different to different settings.
While you guys are talking, I'm wondering what a student learning task might look like, given that we've just identified different approaches. People may be doing, even though internationalization may have a common understanding across the, we're all coming from different contexts. And so the way that we think about it, even though we may have the same outcome, the way that it's implemented, so the kind of tasks that we give students may be different to what you want in culture, for example, or practice. So if you are thinking about, you know, Ben, you're talking about practice, what would a learning task look like for students reflecting critically on clinical? And then, Anestis, your example of coming from an isolated, relatively isolated in Norway, and that's very much the same thing. All of the students are Norwegian, you know, for them to get that different cultural perspective, a different background. Do you guys have any thoughts on what a learning task or an assignment might look like? I've given an example in the Google document for what I think might be a relatively simple task. I don't know if you guys have given any thought to that. I know, Ben, you're actually running a project.
Yes, happy to. So, as I say, the outcome that I was really looking for and the reason that I sort of started project was to get that idea about thinking of the differences in practice from a physio perspective. So what is similar about physiotherapy and what physiotherapists might do across different countries. And then also from the wider kind of health and social care mix. So like who pays for healthcare, where does it take place, how is it organised, those kind of aspects. So what the project, as it has run, involves is basically groups of around five students from how I did it the first time was there were I split the cohort at Oxford Brookes up into groups of five. I then had groups Abu Dhabi, in Bangladesh, India, Italy, Switzerland. Each of those institutions had, again, a group of around five students. Each group of students got some information about a patient, the same case study information for all of them. And I tried to write it in such a way, with help from other academics, that was kind of non-national specific. So it was trying to focus on the impairments, the activity limitations, the participation problems that someone had, but not in their own environmental context particularly. And so the students had to kind of then think about this and for 4 points along that person's rehab journey. So it was a chap who'd had a car accident, so sort of multiple orthopaedic trauma and acquired brain injury. And just kind of look at in the acute phase, in the sort of more sort of subacute in hospital, in the rehab hospital phase, potentially if it was in hospital, and then in the sort of longer term rehab at home, just what the physio's role was, where that scope had maybe changed over time, who else they might be working with, but also say things around kind of what was this taking place in an institution or in someone's home, who was funding it, you know, how was this being organised to try and sort of provide the care to get people to identify the gaps basically that they could see in the care in the place that they were from. And then the two groups of students kind of shared their presentations basically of that case study with each other, with the idea being that they exposed difference and that they could see differences in how their organisation happened or in the role of the physio. So it could be that there were different treatments that physios were doing, it that the physios just didn't realize of practice, you know, that might be seen elsewhere. And then we tried to put it back together just in Oxford Brookes, so that all of the students, having had all of these conversations with students around different parts of the world, came back and kind of had to pick out kind of key similarities and key differences between their approach and the institution that they'd have the conversation with. The idea being kind of exposure to different people. And I think I see this as very much kind of trying to develop critical thinking, really. So we don't know that there are other ways of doing until we've seen or heard of them. So it was just to kind of decenter someone from their own, as you say, ethnocentric view, that this is how practice is. You know, I've learnt about it and I've seen it on placement, so therefore I know that this is how this kind of thing takes place in healthcare. When I first ran it, that was it. It kind of ended there. And so reflecting on that, I think the thing that it missed was the kind of counter idea about trying to recenter. So it was quite good at exposing difference. The students could really see where differences in practice happened, you know, how healthcare systems differed. But did that prompt reflection, or was that just like, oh, that's interesting, don't they do things differently in wherever, you know? So, but what I've tried to introduce back in, and I did this on just with one institution last year, was then taking the conversation for the two groups to kind of go, okay, so we've talked about this, we've seen some differences, so what would a perfect system look like if we come up with a completely new country and we're from scratch? What would we take from institution A, what would we take from institution B to try and build something from those two things, which kind of took the best of both? So it necessarily needed a conversation and made people reflect on what were the deficiencies in how they'd been taught things or how they were seeing things in practice. So again, it was just to try and kind of undercut this idea that they'd learnt how things were done and that they could continue to think and continue to challenge, you know, those ideas going forward was the idea.
So if I had to kind of sum up that idea as a principle, would it be something like you would have an initial part of an activity that encouraged students to look outward and to be exposed to different ways of thinking, being, doing, whatever? And then a second part that then turns that lens so that they're looking inward. And then there's a reflective component. So using the experience that they had by being exposed to difference, for example, and then to use that experience to look at their own practice, thoughts, beliefs, something like that?
Yeah, so yeah, that is it. I definitely felt that from the first time that I ran it. It really lacks getting that refocusing back on the reflective element. And for me, I think that's important. If it's a thing to drive critical thinking, if it's a thing to really make students kind of question foundations that they've built for themselves, and I think that should be absolutely a key aspect of pretty much everything that we try and do, then it really needs to rehome back in.
I had a question about the logistic aspects of your assignment, Ben. Did you involve at the same time all these five countries?
Yeah, so this wasn't all as part of one big sort of conference call, but there were six countries and the students from Brooks. I split my students up into groups equally, and each group then did a video conference, lasted a couple of hours, probably with each of whichever country they were paired with. Organisationally, it was a challenge, which is why I've not run it on that same scale again since, if I'm honest. So what was great about it is that then allowed us to pull back together, having had all these conversations with places where, you know, the health services did differ quite markedly between each place, not just England. Then when we pulled it back together as a whole group, the students could see the differences between the conversations that they'd had. So they had all had a different experience and some different learning, and then they were able to sort of share that. So it was great from that aspect, but it was undoubtedly challenging. And just in terms of time to kind of put aside to organise. So it was a kind of standalone thing. And then in terms of getting the depth of the reflection, that had to happen sort of outside of that and back in their own group. So, you know, there's different models of doing it, but we shouldn't underestimate the time resource and practicalities there.
Just an idea. Is there any way that these processes and logistics could be streamlined so they don't need to be repeated every year? Some kind of like a platform where people can just, or universities or schools can, something can be like a package together. It would be easier to start, resources available throughout, and then the last. I'm not sure. In that way, we could potentially get this moving and running without an added, like without so much energy every year. I mean, that sounds fantastic assignment, fantastic activity for our university here as well. You said you ran it one way the first time, and then you're now running in a smaller scale since then. Is that correct?
So yeah, the first time it ran completely last year, and because we were changing the curriculum, so we've got a new program that's kind of coming in and working its way through at the minute. So that's allowed me to try and chisel out a bit of space for it. So the idea is that it goes back to what it was to start with. Institutions might differ, because if it has to be in a slightly different, it's about trying to find a place that works in the curriculum for two institutions or more it can be challenging. So obviously the students prepared a presentation. I've got all of the kind of slides and the things that they put together for that. When the Oxford Brookes students came back and did the feedback session where they were highlighting the key similarities and differences, I filmed that entire session. So I have got, so that is a resource that already kind of highlights their experiences. So my plan for part of the BSc cohort for this year is to use those resources that I have, basically, and to kind of get them to be reflecting on the experiences that the students had while I'm working out the practicalities of how, of hopefully having enough institutions who are committed to it over the short to medium term of sort of several years. There was someone called Guillaume. So his university, we ran the second time a bit with, and it was just impractical to kind of broaden it back out to everyone else for that time. But because we've now done it twice, it was much simpler the second time round, because he understood the case, he understood the practicality of doing it. So we feel we're at a point now where it wouldn't need both me and him to commit the time to it. It could just be facilitated by sort of one or other of us at whichever end of the call. So I think it's those kind of things that actually, if once it's all in place and you've run it once, it becomes easier. The organisation is a bit easier if there's a commitment to where it sits in the curriculum and everything else. You're not having to do the whole organisation every time.
Thanks, Ben. I'm aware of the time, so I just want to use that to move on to a question that was raised about this idea of having a centralized repository for the kinds of resources and activities and tasks that would be developed by people who are working in this area. So, I mean, there's four of us here, and each of us are doing internationalization projects in some form. Would it be reasonable to put those resources, even if it's just an outline of the program that you're running, into one place to avoid fragmentation, duplication? Like you were saying, Anestis, to make sure that we're not reinventing the wheel every time somebody wants to do a project of this sort. Do you think that there's any value in trying to establish some kind of a centralized repository?
I think that's a great idea. And yeah, I'm not pretty sure where Physiopedia seems to be open for any type of resource. Something linked with Inbeta or something within Physiopedia. I'm just afraid that these resources just may be difficult to track and to find. So that's why I think having a distinct name and perhaps location, I think people will contribute more if it's something smaller scale and it will be something distinct rather than something bigger. That's my feeling.
We'll chuck my thoughts in. And I think I would tend to agree with Anestis that WCPT, you know, I can see how it fits, how the idea of internationalization fits within their remit, and that they could be someone who, you know, has an interest in these sorts of things existing, and there being collaboration between physio programs. So I think in terms of hosting, I'm definitely not sure that that's a place that people would automatically go to look. And so me and Michael had a bit of a chat about this previously, and I think that Physiopedia certainly does the hosting of that, the amount of information well. And, you know, I like the open source idea and the fact that plenty of projects going on and just trying to share those in a way that people can kind of use them. I don't know, Michael, what are your thoughts on that?
I really like the idea of some kind of a repository. The difficulty is trying to decide, you know, where and how. You know, something like Physiopedia comes with a level of credibility. I'm thinking specifically in terms of reach and, I guess, technical infrastructure. You know, you can be confident that things that you put into Physiopedia are not going to go away anytime soon.
I think absolutely true. And potentially Open Physio could be a journal that can fill a bit of a gap around physio education, in that these things don't often get into the clinically focused journals. But if we're thinking of a repository, I think that's a good idea. I think it would be good to try and just provide the space for people to express an interest in being part of things too. You know, I think that's what I'm always interested in, trying to put people in contact with others who wanted to work on the same kind of stuff. You know, I think perhaps the point that we're at now is I'd certainly be interested to know about other projects that are happening out there, and perhaps we kind of a short blog on this conversation or something to sort of put that out there and just try and find out what else is happening. And then we might have an idea about the scale of the number of projects which are happening and how many of those are kind of open to more people coming on board, you know, because even that just can sort of begin to make life easier for people who might feel like they'd like to be part of something like that, but don't have the time to necessarily commit to starting it from scratch.
Thanks, Ben. The last thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up is what we kind of started with was the idea of conducting research into this area. So it's great that you mentioned that, Rachel. You know, Ben, you raised the point that this is unlikely to be published in the kind of more clinically focused journals, unless you could have a pretty strong link between your internationalization project and the development of critical thinking. The clinical journals, I think, might be interested in it from that point of view. I was thinking more in terms of how do you measure the impact of this kind of an intervention. And if we all kind of accept that this is something that should not really be tacked on as an afterthought, your influence on students is going to be diluted if this is just an assignment within a module. Whereas if this is something that's integrated across the curriculum, then you're sending a very strong signal to the students that this matters and it's important. Do you have any thoughts on the kind of research that you might conduct to get some kind of feedback on whether or not this has changed the way students think? So we know that we can do the surveys that say, you know, rate your level of satisfaction, rate your enjoyment, and the kind of self-reports that we can ask about things that, you know, that matter. Are you more likely to change your practice because of this intervention? So, you know, we can do those kinds of self-report studies. Have you given any thought to any other ways that you might approach the question of whether or not these teaching interventions change the way that students think? Any thoughts on that, anyone?
I was just thinking, I mean, Ben mentioned earlier that he has video recorded his students reflecting on the learning experience as well as reflecting on their own system, if I understood it well, in comparison with the system in the other country. Some type of qualitative analysis of what are the main areas that students found helpful and how they felt they benefited. Potentially some additional questions or prompts may be something to consider. I mean, analyzing video recorded discussions of students. In addition to what you were saying before, Michael, about the specific type of questions that students can rank from 0 to 10, how much they may have benefited, etc. So the qualitative aspect may be useful as well.
I'm just going to read these comments that that Rachel has posted into the chat. Just some feedback from students in one of the projects that Rachel's involved in. From a UK student, it's also made me reflect on communication a bit more looking back at it. I don't think I adapted my questioning to try and really get out of the Finnish students what we wanted. So there's a little bit of kind of critical self-reflection going on there. And then another quote from a Finnish student, discussions in this international group expanded my thinking. When assessing patients' functional capacity, how many perspectives they can and should be, and how differently, and how we could see the patient's problems, I learned a lot. So thanks for sharing that. And I think those are the kind of self-report comments that we can get from students within surveys. And then Anestis was also talking about maybe a more in-depth qualitative analysis of things like students reflecting in groups, which is also a great suggestion. Thanks for that, Anestis and Rachel. Ben, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the first time that I ran my project, I very much went with the kind of how did you find it? Can you rate it out of 10 type of question? And unsurprisingly, everyone said it good, but it didn't really show necessarily whether it changed anything with them. So for the run that I did last year, I changed the questions. And so we did a short survey before they took part and then afterwards. And so rather than the questions being kind of, did this make you think about this, or how did you enjoy it? The questions were more around, I think that how my country organises healthcare is the best way to do it, rated out of 10, and then redid the same questions afterwards. So it was about seeing whether has there been a change. So I think obviously this is going to depend on the particular projects and particular things that are happening, but I think trying to capture something in a sort of before and after, how certain students feel about something, maybe that's a nice outcome to try and look at, because as I say, if we can just undermine that certainty and that sort of ethnocentricity that they maybe come into it with, to me, the project's working if I can see those scores drop, really. And so, yeah, that was just my thoughts on that.
Thanks, Ben. I really like that idea of the destabilizing that certainty that students feel. And I don't know how it is with you guys in your programs, but with us, kind of student who applies for physiotherapy is the kind of student who feels very comfortable knowing that there's a right and wrong answer, and that the world is very clearly kind of demarcated into, you know, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And when you can introduce activities that kind of produce that cognitive dissonance that, you know, really, as I said, destabilize the way that students think about the world, I think even if you can just show that students are a little bit less certain about the things that they believed were true, I think that could be a great outcome.
So we hope that you enjoyed listening into this conversation and that it has stimulated some thoughts about your own teaching. Please do remember that the Google Doc that's linked to this conversation is still open. You can find that on the Google Plus community. So if you have further thoughts or questions, then please do add them in there. Also, if you've got a topic that you think it would be good for us to discuss on Invita, either in the next session or at a later date after that, then please do let us know, as we're going to be putting suggested topics to the vote within the community to see what people would like to talk about.
And please remember that this community and approach to collaboration is a work in progress, so we'd really appreciate any feedback you have that will help us improve the experience. You can leave comments on SoundCloud, or you can join the Google Plus community and participate there.